John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The message this evening I've titled, For Love of the World. God sacrificially gave it all because of his love for you and me. That's what the video communicates, that truth. That's what the gospel's all about. That's what John 3:16 tells us. That God sacrificially gave everything that was needed for us to be saved. He gave it all out of love. That was his motivation, his love for you and me. I like to think sometimes of the gospel in three sentences. Because of our sin, we lost it all. God gave us everything we needed in relationship with him, and because of sin, we lost it all. But because of love, he gave it all. And because of Jesus, we get it all. We get everything we need. We get the promised Holy Spirit. We get eternal life, and we get that relationship with him that will never end, that nothing can ever separate us from. We lost it all. He gave it all. We get it all. God's love. I was thinking about some different adjectives to go with love there to describe this love of God. The redemptive love of Christ. The supernatural love of God, the radical, sacrificial love of God, the selfless love of Christ. I think about what Jesus did specifically for me. Because it's not just for God so loved the world, it's God so loved you. You know, put your name in there. That's what he did specifically for you. That he would give his body to be broken and sacrificed for you. And then even beyond that, his love is relentless, the relentless love of God, that even though there are times that we are foolish in our decisions and in our desires and we run into darkness and we run from him, that he still pursues us, relentlessly pursues us. The persevering love of Christ. You know, we go through seasons where we just fail over and over again, or where we doubt, or where we just make a mess of things, and yet the Bible tells us that even when we're faithless, he is faithful, and his love perseveres. We know from Scripture that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when I think about that, and I think about what Jesus did at Calvary for me, it's hard for me to think of a word to describe what he did that's sufficient for his love. His love is so amazing, incredible. I don't know what words to use, but it's just absolutely beyond words, the love of Christ for us. We've been talking about this journey that the Lord invites us to follow him and to follow him into the world with the gospel, to follow him into the world so that he can love people through us. And his motivation for that, for this mission, for this journey that he has us on is love. And we are to have that same love of Christ that we marvel at working through us in the person of the Holy Spirit to blow people away, not only with this great news, but that they see the tangible reality of it when they see us loving on them in a way that they don't see from the world. Jesus invites us to join him in this journey and to share in this love. And sometimes you might have heard talk about, and you could look at the scripture saying this, I don't know that specifically it uses these terms, but basically the idea of loving the least, the last, and the lost. And I think sometimes while you hear preachers use that terminology, it's biblical, but I think for most of us it's easy to love people who are first. You know, it's easy to love people who are beautiful and charming and witty and they seem to have it together and they know how to relate to you in a way that makes you feel valued. But when you have people who, in your mind and in your heart, are the least, or they're the last, that you really have a hard time in your flesh connecting with and loving, or the lost, how many times in Scripture do we see that? That the people who are really religious and beautiful or respectable or hardworking or just got it together, sometimes just don't understand their need for Jesus. And yet there's sometimes people who are so broken in their leastness or their lastness or their lostness that they understand. They get it. They're like, I need him. because I'm not worthy, and I need him, even though we all do. Sometimes those are the folks ready to receive that love. But sometimes we struggle. We struggle to let God love people in that supernatural way through us. But I think that God wants us to win in this. I think he wants us to succeed at loving people, or he wouldn't command us to do it. And so he wants us to win, and so he provides, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he provides provision for us to be able to love people that we think are unlovable. And goodness knows there are plenty of people that I want to love me, and there's times when I am really unlovable. But I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit's going to work through them in a way that enables them to love me anyway. But we want to be that person. But along with that, the Lord gives us encouragement through Scripture, through people who've come on this journey of love that Jesus invites us to, that have gone before us in the Scriptures. And so tonight we're going to look at the example of the Apostle Paul and maybe one or two other examples, but we're going to take a look at the last days of the Apostle Paul's life as he journeyed on earth. In Romans 15, the Apostle Paul, he's writing the church in Rome, and he hopes to go to them. He wants to go to the church in Rome to encourage them, he tells us, and to have fellowship with them. And in this passage, though, we find out that Paul didn't, he wasn't just writing to the Romans. He was also writing for our benefit. You know, the Scriptures are for the benefit of the church that would read this beyond those group of people that would receive it. They were meant to be passed around and shared and encourage believers not only in that time and place, but beyond. From the moment that Jesus saved Paul, Paul relentlessly proclaimed the gospel. And there are times, I don't know if you have gotten this out of Scripture when you've read Scripture, but there are times where Paul actually stayed put for a while. There was a season before Barnabas came and spoke to him that for several years he was in one location waiting to hear from Jerusalem, for marching orders basically, waiting to hear from them about going out. And so he was doing his tent making. And so there were seasons where he was traveling a lot. There were times that he was stationary. But wherever he was, Paul's approach was this, that whoever I'm with, that's my mission field. Whether I'm staying put for a while or whether I'm traveling, he knew that God puts you around people for a reason, and that reason is to reach them for Christ. And so that's our journey, that's our mission. And if we're in Kokomo or Galveston or Peru or wherever you're from, God has you there, just like the Apostle Paul, God has you there for a reason. Those people are to be reached with the gospel. We are part of an amazing journey of those who love God and love people, and because of love, because of the love that we saw in the video that Jesus had to do what he did to save us, because of love, we are compelled to share the good news. We cannot stay silent. We're compelled out of love for people to share our lives, to share our resources, to share our time, to share our love, to share our hearts, and to do life with people. And that is the church. That's the journey of the church. That's why we're here. That's our journey. It's really basic to who we are, but sometimes we get off track and we can forget that. And we can think it's about religious stuff or activities or whatever, and forget that it's really about the heart of Christ for people. It's about love. So we want to be intentional and clear about it. So as we begin looking at Romans 15 tonight, if you have your Bibles or if you have an app and you want to look that up, I want us to recognize a few principles that I think are in Scripture to encourage us, because there are times we can get discouraged, but as we cooperate with Jesus, as we let him love on people through us, these are some things that will help us in that, some principles that will help us continue in that, out of love for the world. So the first principle we're going to see this evening, I think actually I missed a click, Jess, sorry. Let's go ahead and go one more. The first principle is that we need to stay broken for the world. We need to stay broken for the world. And what I mean by that is we need to have a concern for the people around us that is unshakable, that we are determined to love people around us. And sometimes we get about our own agenda, and we can lose track of that. We start thinking about the bills. We start thinking about this or that activity or fun thing or entertainment or whatever, a relationship, and we forget that as we go through our day and we've got all our agendas, that God's got an agenda that should be overriding our agenda. And his agenda is that his heart is breaking for those who don't know him yet, and our heart needs to break for them too. So we need to stay broken for the world. Looking at Romans 15, 25 through 29. Go ahead, Justin, advance that. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them, since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem. They feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. Go ahead and advance. As soon as I've delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. You can see Paul's concern there, his concern for the people that he's going to, and speaking of other people's concern for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And it begs the question, who do you have a burden for? Who do you have an unshakable daily burden for that you just cannot escape, that's on your mind all the time? You know, maybe it's lost family members, maybe it's a group of people, maybe it's addicts in your community. You know, for some of us, maybe it's people who are living in poverty, or maybe it's just some unsafe family members. But whoever it is, there should be people that you have a burden for. And in this example, we see that the believers in Macedonia and Achaia had a burden for the welfare of the believers in Jerusalem, and Paul had a burden for the believers in Rome. And so he's speaking about this burden that they have. One of my mentors, Patrick Morley, from Man in the Mirror, founded Man in the Mirror Ministries, one of the things that I heard him say, and I really thought this was spot on, he said, God makes us, go ahead and advance that, Jess. God makes us more like Jesus by turning what breaks our hearts into a passionate calling to help redeem some broken part of his world. I want to read that again. God makes us more like Jesus by turning what breaks our hearts into a passionate calling to help redeem some broken part of his world. And he also said in an interview, if you don't have an unshakable burden, ask God for one. Because every Christian should have a heart for somebody out there that you're praying for, that you're pursuing with your time and your talents and your treasure and your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you're doing everything you can because your heart can't stand the fact that they don't know Jesus yet. And if you don't have those people yet, pray for that. God will give you that burden. That was one of the things that God used to as a catalyst for me when I joined Man in the Mirror, was a burden for people. It's one of the things that he used calling us to Here's Hope and Kokomo, is just a burden for people that we can't shake it. I can't get rid of it if I wanted to. I don't know that I've tried hard, but my heart breaks for people in this community who don't know Jesus yet. And I don't want to get away from it, but I can't. I wake up thinking about it. I go to sleep thinking about it. You know, I think about it when I go to Meijer to get bread. You know, I just, because I know no matter what my agenda is today, this is God's agenda. There are people out there to reach. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. So as one who's been saved by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, Paul could not bear the thought of other people missing out on it. He just marveled at the grace of God towards him, and he was broken for other people. And that brokenness compelled Paul forward again and again and again, despite obstacles in his journey. It just kept going forward. He was compelled by love for people. And it wasn't about ministry success. Paul wasn't looking to make a name for himself. He wasn't looking to be famous or well-known in our time. I'm sure he had no idea that we would even mention him today. But he was compelled by love for people and brokenness for them. So we want to have that abiding brokenness for other people. In Romans 9, go ahead, Justin, advance that, please. In Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, and this is the Apostle Paul still speaking, he says, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. And he was speaking of his brothers and sisters who were Jews, who the people who didn't yet know Christ. There were some who did. But he's saying, those who are still lost, if it were possible, if it would win some of them to Christ, I would give up everything for them. And I want that to be my heart for people. I want to have that kind of passion driving me, Because obstacles come, struggles come. You know, we all fail sometimes at this, and we need that passion to compel us forward. When was the last time that you wept for somebody you know who doesn't know Jesus yet? I mean, really wept for somebody you know who doesn't know Jesus. When was the last time that you really, really made a sacrifice for a friend or a neighbor because it might point them to Jesus in some way? When was the last time that I took a day to just pray for the lost in my community? Nothing else. Just to pray for people who don't know Jesus yet. And I think we need to do that. In Acts 26 through 28, Paul's under arrest and he makes an appeal to get to Rome. And his appeal is granted and he begins his journey to go to Rome. But on the way, he's shipwrecked. There's this big storm and they crash on this island called Malta. And while they're there, God uses Paul in some really remarkable ways. And this is going to lead us up to our second principle on our journey. Jess, go ahead and advance that, please. In Acts 28, Acts 28, verse 7. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. Even though Paul had a heart for the people in Rome, and he fully intended to get on this journey and go straight to Rome on this ship, they're shipwrecked. But he doesn't see that as a thwarting of God's plan for his life. He takes advantage of this opportunity, understanding that God is sovereign, and this is part of God's plan as well. And so we need to have that same relentless love for the world. Go ahead, Justin. Even though he wasn't among the people that he felt he was supposed to minister to, he wanted to go and minister with the brothers and sisters in Rome to the people there. He was relentless for the world, wherever he was. This part of Acts in Paul's journey reminds us that we need to have that same kind of passion to get the gospel out. For everyone, no matter where we are, even if it's not people that are on our radar, the people we think that we're called to minister to, we need to just look for those opportunities, be relentless for the world. Nothing is by chance. And Paul knew that. He knew that when he was shipwrecked, that this was ordained by God, that he was there for a reason. And so he looked for opportunities, and God used him supernaturally in an amazing way, and people came to Christ. And so we need to, as we're in our communities, we need to look for that. You know, when do you serve Jesus? When do you express the love of God? Is it just during church outreach times? Is it just special outreach opportunities that a pastor might invite you to be part of? Is it when, maybe for a younger person, if your family or a parent tells you you have to go out and serve in some way, sometimes that's when it is. You know, sometimes for preachers, it's just when they're up on a stage or a platform that they think that they are serving the Lord and need to be relentlessly pursuing the world, but truly accepting this invitation of Jesus to join him on this journey to reach the world means that we are always looking for opportunities, that we're relentlessly pursuing those around us for Christ. And we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is always moving in ways we don't see. I mean, I've had, and I'm sure many of you could testify, opportunities when I least expected it. When I wasn't in a situation where I would have thought, wow, what a great ministry setting I'm in. You know, I'm getting my oil change. But the next thing you know, I'm talking to some guy who doesn't look anything like me and that I may never see again about Jesus. And you feel God's presence and you know it's from him. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that. So all that to say, be relentless for the world. Always be looking for opportunities to share that love of Christ. And then the third principle, go ahead, Jess. We'll find from Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. Okay, go ahead and advance that. And our third principle I want to share with you tonight is to finish well for the world. Because of your love for the world, finish well. Paul, we know, gets to Rome. And in Rome, he's allowed to live by himself. He's under house arrest, so there are soldiers there just to keep an eye on him. But he sets up some strategic meetings with religious leaders. And in the first meeting, he shares his story, his testimony, and he shares the gospel. And these leaders are intrigued, and they want to hear more from him. And Paul encourages them to bring more people back for the next meeting, because he wants to have more opportunities to share Christ. And even though he's under arrest, and eventually he's gonna die in Rome, revival breaks out while he's under arrest in his home. He's not really, even though his days are numbered, we might say, he's not concerned about that. His concern is finishing well, finishing the race well, and keep telling people about Jesus. And I think that that's a great example for us to follow. Sometimes as we get older, especially those who have served Christ for a long time, it's easy to coast. It's easy to think, well, I'm probably as used as God's going to use me a lot in past when I did this or that, and not understand that, you know, God, he can use you with your best days ahead no matter what your age is. And so we need to finish strong for Christ and look at examples like the Apostle Paul, who knew that his time was coming but still kept looking for opportunities to gather people together and to tell them about Jesus. And I think of another hero of the faith in my life, Billy Graham, still doing videos and appearing, you know, just doing everything he can do, even though he's in his mid-90s now, I think, mid to late, something like that. Still just looking for any opportunity to invest in people by sharing the gospel with them. And so we need to finish well because of our love for the world, because the world needs us to, as the church. We need to finish well in our life. Jesus honored Paul's desire to share. In Galatians, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. And in Philippians, he said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we're not entirely sure how Paul died. There's some church historian records. It's not necessarily clear from Scripture. But just to go ahead and advance that, I want to share another passage with you. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul seems to be anticipating his death here, that it's going to be soon. And he said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who've loved his appearing. This is, we believe 2 Timothy is written during Paul's, he had two imprisonments in Rome. This is during the second imprisonment around 64 to 67 AD. And one of the church historians, Eusebius, his theory, what he said was that Paul was beheaded in Rome. And so that's, I think most of the church over the years has accepted that historical record, that that's what happened from Emperor Nero was in power at the time and persecuting Christians. And even though Paul's life ended on earth, a couple things that just for us to keep in mind as we go forward in our race, in our journey in this world, is that today, Paul is not alone. Today, Paul is not alone. He is alive, and not only with Jesus, he is surrounded by the church who has gone before us, who is in heaven right now, by many people. And I just imagine how many people right now are thanking Paul that he was willing to continue faithful in proclaiming Christ. And you think about he was lashed, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was stoned, just all the things. But his love, it was his love for people that just compelled him forward. And he had a brokenness for the world. And he was relentless in sharing the love of Christ with people and sharing the gospel. And he was determined to finish well. And because of that, there are so many millions of people now who've been impacted because of the way God used Paul. And secondly, the message that Paul proclaimed, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that message is also alive. And it's alive in you. The exact same message that Paul had, empowered by the exact same Holy Spirit, is the message you have and that I have to share with people in Kokomo and the surrounding communities. Go ahead and advance that again, Jess. Oh, sorry, wrong. Go back one. Is that the, okay, yeah, that is. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Paul wrote this, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." And I think that's really part of the heart of Here's Hope, that we want to share the good news with everybody, especially maybe the least and the last and the lost, the people who are too easily overlooked by us, the church, sometimes. But we also have to share our lives. It takes some sacrifice. It takes a willingness to get out of our comfort zone. And so we have to be willing to do that. So, worship team, if you'd like to come on back up, I'm going to close us in prayer, and then we'll worship the Lord in song also. So let's pray. And then I'll go back, Jess, and I'll hit the button for you guys. So, Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, for your word. Lord, we are thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, like the Apostle Paul, who've gone before us and journeyed really well on this journey of the church, Lord. And God, we just think about the tens of millions of people, Lord, have been impacted by a man who is faithful to you. God, who's just a humble man who follows a great and amazing God. Lord, we pray we would be like that, that we would live to share the good news. Help us, Lord, to stay broken for those around us, not that we would walk around brokenhearted, Lord, but that we would be just compelled by love that we can't let go of, Lord, that we'd be compelled by love and we just have to love on people around us and share Jesus with them, and that we just can't stay silent, Lord. Lord, help us to be relentless in that love, that we would never give up. Father, you know sometimes we get discouraged and we'll pray and pray and pray and pray for somebody who's lost and it doesn't happen quickly, and so Lord, sometimes we lose heart, and we just pray you to encourage us tonight to persist in prayer, to be relentless in prayer, Father. God, help us to finish well. Wherever we are, wherever we've been, whatever our journey's been like up until now, Lord, from this day forward, help us just to humbly and faithfully trust you and to follow Jesus into this world, into this community, Lord, and to expect that you're going to do great things, Lord, as we live that way. Lord, we know that as we do that, that you take care of us. Father, we have needs, and you know we're messy, and you know we're broken. But Lord, we believe that as we draw near to Jesus, as we go on this journey of the church and our community with Jesus, Lord, we believe that you are lifting our burdens. And God, you're taking our heartaches, and you're giving us joy. And you're taking our failings and our weaknesses, Lord, and you're giving us strength, and you're giving us the victory that Jesus has already won for us. Lord, we know that for each one of us that's received Jesus, we not only receive forgiveness, but Lord, you tell us that we're blessed, and you tell us that no matter what our circumstances are, that we are secure in Christ. God, that if we'll just follow you, we're going to recognize we've got everything we need. That you are the source of true happiness and true joy, and that our identity, Lord, is in you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.